Join me in Psalm 23, if you would please. As we began last week, we continue on in our study of this beautiful psalm. Today, I give you simply one verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his most holy, infallible, inerrant word. Back in my days as a mechanical maintenance procedure writer for the nuclear industry, I had to come to understand the major difference between two words and their use. The words were shall and should. Writing these procedures, we were directing the activities of the maintenance technicians in the plant, and we would direct them that they should do certain things, and then they should also, or they would also shall do certain things. And in the nuclear industry, those two words have incredible meaning, but two different meanings. The word should is used to express something that is advisable. It's advisable. It's suggested that you do something. One statement I might make in a procedure, it says that you should cover the mechanical seal housing when not in use. Should. It's advisable. Shall, on the other hand, expresses a determined imperative act. It expresses certain laws, rules, or a mandate. And in a nuclear station, there are a whole lot of rules and mandates, shalls. You shall not operate that pump at greater than 36 revolutions per minute. I probably wrote that statement too many times. It simply says you shall or shall not, and it's an imperative. In our text today, David is using the word shall to identify something that he must not ever do. He says, I shall not. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. An imperative, a mandate, no option. It's a determined position that David has taken. And there's something special we should understand about this verb phrase, shall not. Typically, or always, in the English language, it's pointing to some future event. I shall go somewhere tomorrow. I shall go eat dinner this afternoon. In the English language, it has a future tense to it. In the Hebrew, it's a little different. In the Hebrew, it's an ongoing, continuous activity. An ongoing, continuous act, which includes the present. So what is said here, under the care of the good shepherd, there is a shall not that David is doing now, but also under the care of the shepherd, there is a shall not that he will continue. I shall not. Please understand the strength and capacity of that short phrase. Okay, I shall not what? What's the object of what I'm not to do? Want. I shall not want. This word want here actually has a very, very broad meaning in this context. First, of course, it means to lack nothing. I shall not go lacking. I shall not go wanting. I will lack nothing. The sheep under the care, under the right care of the good shepherd, under proper management of the good shepherd, there will be no lacking for their sheep. They'll want nothing. Secondly, it also means to be content. This word, I shall not want, means to be content. Under the care of the good shepherd, there is no craving. There is no desire of anything more than what I have. And it's obvious in King David's statement that he's very satisfied. He's perfectly content with his lot in life. He's perfectly content where the Lord has him. He's perfectly content with what provision the Lord has given him at this place in his life. Thirdly, I shall not want is a statement about self-control. I shall not want, I shall be self-controlled and content in what I have and where I am. Think about all the pain in life that is caused by wanting, by not being content. I want this. I want that. I want to go there. I want this better. Or as we said in Sunday school that Rockefeller said, I just want one more dollar. Too many of life's complications come from wanting what we don't have, and we have a difficult time controlling our desires. But what David said here is, I shall not want. I shall not lack anything. I shall be content, and I will be self-controlled in the dynamic of which God has given me. A lot wrapped up into those few words. Paul states in Philippians 4, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Paul was content. But let's go even deeper than just simply the basic needs of life. David, King David here is also saying, I shall not want another shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want another. I shall not seek another master. Jesus taught, you cannot have two masters. You cannot serve two masters. All right, David here is saying, I'm satisfied with the master I have. The divine care of the Lord is all I desire. I'm completely content. I'm satisfied with his management, with his lot that he's given me. I shall not want. Though my life is not perfect, he has never failed me. While there have been disappointments and difficulties, he's always kept his promises. When I've sought him, I've found him. And it doesn't take you long reading the Psalms of David that he sought the Lord often when he was content, but when he was also troubled, when he was angry. David was not a perfect man, but he always knew that Yahweh was there in whatever circumstance he found himself. King David is saying, the Lord is my shepherd and I don't want another. Folks, I hope we can say that. I hope that we are content. I hope that we understand that we have nothing lacking. And I hope that we are self-controlled in what God has given us, and we are perfectly content with the shepherd that provides and cares for us. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't want another. However, it is necessary to keep the realities of life in view. We can look at the lives of Moses, Jeremiah, Paul, the prophets, Joseph, Isaac, the saints down through the ages from that time till this, even the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and see that they all suffered great adversity and loss. Jesus said in John 16, in the world you will have tribulation. So from a biblical perspective, we can determine that King David was not referring to material things when he said, I shall not want. Because he understood the physical dynamics of life are ebb and flow. Prosperous, in need, hardships, joy, trials. But yet in all of that, I understand, David understood that the Lord is his shepherd and he shall not want. At this particular time, David is king. He has risen to king of Israel. Saul is gone. Yet there were trials of life in past. There were many trials and tribulations under Saul and Absalom. This man has been through all of them. As we said last week, this psalm has been written by a man who needed to be brought up, who'd been through the valley of the shadow of death, had faced his enemies. He could write this psalm from his history. Yet through all of these times, he maintained an attitude of contentment and self-control as best a sinful man could. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So we as Christians should recognize, just as David and Moses and Jeremiah and the prophets, even the Lord Jesus Christ himself, as they suffered in this world, so will we. We may have to do without wealth. we may suffer with poor health for an extended period. We may suffer hardships, losing loved ones, losing children, divorce, children being children. But we, I pray, have the maturity and understanding, as David does here, that we should always maintain a lack of wanting, because we have the Good Shepherd. We have the Good Shepherd in Jesus Christ, who provides what we need in our troubled times, in our good times. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount as much as this. He says, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Yes, we are. The Lord said to Paul in 2 Corinthians, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. And then Paul responded in that same verse, therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now that takes maturity. That takes a will. That takes a person who has been touched, redeemed, and matured under the Holy Spirit. That in my weakness I will say, thank you, Lord, and glory to you. As I said, contentment and self-control should be some of the primary characteristics of a Christian. We should be content in what Jesus Christ has given us. However, in our world today, contentment, self-control seems so difficult to obtain. Our wealth, our affluence, and as I said in Sunday school, even those who might make a modest income are incredibly affluent and wealthy compared to 90% of the world. But we have been so desensitized by the materialism of our world and the constant commercialism of, you need more, you need more, you need what I'm selling. You won't be perfect, you won't be good until you get what I have for you. And we want, and we want, and we want. We have a wealth, we have an affluence, everything at the tip of our fingers. I can reach into my back pocket right now and be on the internet and find anything I want in less than 10 seconds. We have all of this, yet we struggle with security. We struggle with hope. And we struggle being satisfied. Many are restless, unsettled, greedy, and they want more. And we want more. And we want more. Even among Christians, there seems to be a wanting of more, of more. Yet when the Christian says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, this should be true in every aspect of our life, at home, at work, in my family, in my job, at my school. I should never be in a position of not being content. Now, this doesn't mean doing nothing. This doesn't mean being lazy or idle. We learned that from 2 Thessalonians. And it doesn't mean that we aren't to pursue improving, but it should be under the guidance and under the will of God the Father, not my sinful selfishness. Psalm 34 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, For those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. The Christian must be completely satisfied with the shepherd's management of his or her life. Once again, from the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus Christ says, which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will you give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? The good shepherd will give the good things to his sheep. Look at the shepherd who cares for his flock here on earth. He watches over them. There is no trouble too great that he will not face for his sheep. He watches over them day and night. He will go to great lengths to protect them, to provide for them, to find the good grazing lands, to find the fresh water. He will provide for them during the storms, protect them from their enemies. The good sheep man rises early, and his first thought is of his sheep and their care. And repeatedly throughout the day, he's on guard, protecting and providing for the sheep. That's a human shepherd. If he does this level of care for his animals, how much more will the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, provide for his sheep? He knows all about our lives. He provides every need, both physical and spiritual. The battle against the world, the battle against the flesh, the battle against the devil is intense, but strength to overcome is provided through Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit. We as sheep are weak, and we wander. But the Good Shepherd always comes, provides for, and watches out over us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. With our salvation in Jesus Christ, we shall never go wanting. He provides for our greatest needs. As I pointed out to the children, he rescued us from the bondage of sin. He provides intercession now. The Lord is my shepherd, present tense, remember last week. He provides intercession between us and the Father, making us one with him and the Father. He paved the way for the Holy Spirit to come as that guarantee for us who are Christians that eternal life is there. We're living eternity now. The presence of the Holy Spirit proves that. And Jesus made a promise that he would never leave us, would never forsake us, would always be there with us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And yes, as I said, the realities of life are there. We struggle, we have trials, we falter, but please know, in Jesus Christ, we have everything we need. Therefore, I hope we, like the psalmist David, can say, I shall not want. Let's pray together. Oh, indeed, Lord, our shepherd, you provide for our every need spiritually and then in life, the needs we have here in this life. And we thank you, Lord, but Holy Spirit, come and let us have lives of contentment, lives of self-control, lives of little lacking, no lacking. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen and amen.